بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have a guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's question, Shaykh Ahmad Danish. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
All right, Shaykh Ahmad Danish, today's question asks how to encounter opposite ideas and opinions in life. I mean, sometimes in life, as a Muslim, you face some problems, some questions from the opposite opinions. So how to face them, how to encounter them wisely? How does Quran give us a strategy, or a hadith give us a strategy in order to talk to our enemies? Or when we are in a controversy, in order to find sufficient answers to the problems and the propositions. So what's your idea, Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, a very important topic and something that we encounter on a daily basis. People who have different opinions than ours. What is the message of the Holy Quran and the Ahadith or the Seerah of the Masumeen, the practical example of the Masumeen, alayhimu salam, regarding our opponents and opposing views, right?
Yes.
And so from the Holy Quran, in the verse of the Holy Quran, we have Surah An-Nahl, verse number 125. We see that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idhati al hasana. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And so this verse of the Holy Quran says that when you are encountering the opposite party
ideas or opinions, that's right.
Opposite ideas, you have to call to the way of your Lord, إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. First of all, the term hikmah is used. That is wisdom.
Yes.
That is you just don't say something that has no basis.
So
right?
Don't act according to your emotions or something. Yes. It must be something wise.
Yes.
That's right.
So something that is rooted in evidence, something that is rooted in wisdom, something that is that can be relied on. So the first part is hikmah from the Holy Quran. The second part is wal maw'idatil hasana, that you have good advice for them.
The pieces of advice must be a good one. That's
yes.
Right.
The advice that you give to someone has to be good. And then the third part is وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Of course, when you have different opinions, you will have a debate.
Mm-hmm.
You will have a to and fro.
Yes.
That is, I consider this to be the correct version. The opposite party considers the other thing
for
to be
for and against.
Yes.
That's right.
And so you will have the Holy Quran's method is to jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Don't use in your debate words which, for example, degrade the opposite party, right? You say that you don't understand anything, and I, for example, know everything.
Not belittling your enemy or your opposite.
Not belittling your enemy.
Okay.
Not saying
bad words
for them. Or, for example,
using foul language against them.
Using foul language.
Yes.
Even regarding another verse of the Holy Quran says that don't even badmouth their idols, right? So even the renowned personalities of another sect, for example, should not be badmouthed.
That's right.
Because that is against the concept of mawazat al-hasana.
That's right.
And so all of these aspects...
Sorry, unless they are so.
Hmm.
I mean, for instance, if they are arrogant people or they use foul language, and because of your humbleness or a tawazu, they do not show any mercy to you, on that time you can react to them the same as they are, isn't it? I mean, we are not even allowed in Islam to show humbleness to the explicit enemies of Islam.
Of course, then it would not be a debate, right? It would not be a debate.
It would be a fight,
so,
right?
Yeah, so right. Our presupposition is that the other party also wants to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would be a match of abuses and everything.
Yes.
And that's not very much recommended either.
That's right.
But For example, you are sitting with a friend, for example, who believes in something different than you, who might be from the opposite sect. So how do you consult each other? So this Holy Quran's verse is giving us three guidelines, that you speak with hikmah, you speak with ma'uzat al-hasana, and you have debate in a respectable manner.
That's right.
Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan.
And this was the manner of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt themselves. As
yes.
You could see, Prophet Muhammad himself has always opened the way of dialogue with
True.
His enemies, Imam Ali alayhi salam, to Imam Reza alayhi salam. His dialogues with his enemies, we can say, and the followers of the other denominations was really outstanding. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in his majalis and the gatherings,
True.
He had this manner of talking and establishing a kind of dialogue between he himself and the opposite, and trying to answer them based on the Holy Quran. Imam Jawad alayhi salam, when he was so much young, you know, he could, we can say, open this way of the dialogue.
True.
Of course, we know that the enemies of the infallible Imams did not let them to breathe as easy as possible or in a comfortable way. At least they were martyred by their enemies. But the case is that, yes, the way of dialogue, wise dialogue, has always been open and has been always used as a way in order to, that's right, open a kind of peaceful atmosphere for more talks. Even when the Mongols attacked Persia in that time, we could see in the life of Al-Tusi, who was a famous scientist of his time, okay? He could make them convert to the religion of Islam, and then the Mongols, the barbarians, okay, who attacked here and there, just bloodshed, they become the main preachers of Islam here and there, okay?
True.
So even through dialogue and through peaceful talks, the Mongols could be getting to the right way of life. That's it. All right, so...
So let me add just one example from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Good.
That we see in the Battle of Nehrawan,
yes,
which
yes.
was against the Khawarij. And we know that Khawarij were very... Outwardly, they were very religious
Outrageous.
People.
Yeah. Okay.
But they were practicing religion that only they themselves were right and everyone else was wrong and incorrect. So Imam Ali alayhi salam told them about his stature in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ahadith that had been revealed in his
praise,
in his merit, in his
praise. That's right.
And as a result of his preaching and as a result of his sermons, many of the Khawarij, they left the battlefield.
Yes.
And from amongst the Khawarij, the majority left the battlefield because of the preaching of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Uh-huh.
And this is the same seerah that we see in the A'imma alayhi salam, as you mentioned.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam
his
as well.
Way.
Yes.
The way his story was the story of Zuhair ibn Ghain.
Yes.
He was a merchant, a very rich one, the head of the tribe, the head of his tribe, on the way, okay, in the stations to Karbala, they come together. The tents are far, far away. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam sent his envoy to Zuhair. So come and talk.
True.
Let's talk about your future in the other world.
True.
So Zuhair first refuses. By the persistence of the wife, he goes, and when he backs, he joins Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I mean, there's so much of the miracle in the wise saying from a wise soul, I mean, like
True.
An infallible imam. So, I mean, these are not mere words. The words
again, the example of Hazrat Hur is again because of the sermons of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He feels a guilt that he is going to fight against the grandson of the Holy Prophet and kill the son of Lady Fatima to Zahra salamullah alayha. And this becomes a reason for him converting to the cause of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
That's right.
And then we see the same tradition in the sermons of Lady Zainab salamullah alayha, that when she goes to Kufa, when she goes to Damascus, in the same way Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, everything is arousing the human intellect, right? And arousing the souls that had slept for a long time. And this not only requires hikmah, this not only requires maw'izat al-hasana, this not only requires debate, but as you said, that the pure nafs or pure breath of
the infallible Imam.
Infallible Imam. How much
beautiful see Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam addresses, we can't say his enemy. On different occasions, even in the day of Ashura, we can't say, we could see that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when addressing his enemy, he's talking wisely to them.
True.
He is even giving them lesson. He is hoping that we can say they are back from the wrong path.
True.
And this happens up until the last moment of the war. There are so many people who leave the army of the forces and join Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. They are not ready to kill Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It seems that the main addressee of the words of the best men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, namely Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams, are the soul of the people rather than their body. I mean, here they are talking to the soul. But again, there is an opposite side. For instance, see how Lady Zainab al-Kubra, when she is in the court of Yazid, is talking to Yazid. So now the manner is different now. Now the brave manner of Ali ibn Abi Talib could be seen over there. The daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib is over there, Aghilatul Bani Hashim, okay? She is over there. She is now talking. She is giving sermon. She is reminding him that we freed you, not you are not freeing us, okay? So we could see that, again, this is wise. I mean, wise sayings of Lady Zainab al-Kubra and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, opening the way for the dialogue between the two. All right. So, do we have any other example from the Sirat al-Masumi regarding...
Right. Again, every Masum, as you pointed out, we can have from the Sirah, from the practical example. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent letters to the kings and the rulers of different countries.
Yes.
And these letters are still existent in front of us, that he invited them to the religion of Islam.
A very civilized manner.
Yes, in a very civilized manner. Mm-hmm. Even at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the kuffar said that we don't believe that you are Rasulullah, so he cut that part from the treaty because they said that we don't believe it.
Abdullah.
Yes.
I'm the servant of
Yes. And so so these are the extents to which our noble personalities and the imams and the prophet had gone.
That's right.
In order to allow others to see the beauty of Islam.
Yes.
And so we have from the hadith of the Masumin alayhi salam, a very beautiful hadith which says that لَوْ عَلِمُ النَّاسِ مَحَاسِنَ كَلَامِنَا لَتَّبَعُونَ, that if the people knew the beauty of our kalam, if the people knew the beauty of our words, they would have followed us. لَتَّبَعُونَ. So the message, the true message has this quality that because it's so beautiful, that if it is just allowed for the hearts of the people to be open to them, they would have followed this beautiful message.
That's
and
right.
Even today, if you give Nahjul Balagha to those who don't believe in Imam Ali as the Imam of his time and after the Holy Prophet, they would see the beauty of the Nahjul Balagha and they would start following the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
One of the best contemporary example was the correspondence between two scholars, one Shia and one Sunni, Sayyid Abdul Hussein Sharafuddin and Sheikh Salim al-Bishri, the then head of Al-Azhar University in Egypt, who was a Sunni one. So these correspondences are compiled in a book called Al-Muraja'at. See how much respect these two alim had for each other. Through wise answers, Allama Sharafuddin al-Amali, we can say, could Abdul Hussein Sharafuddin al-Amali could answer the questions on the authenticity of the Shia sect, you know, and so many ambiguities that existed and doubts regarding the Shia faith. So I think that still the way of dialogue is very much open in front of both our Shia and Sunni brethren. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, for a nice elaboration regarding this concept. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. لعلي و
وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين